Sin Media and the Punt Road Journal acknowledges the traditional owners of the land, both past, present and emerging.
Welcome everybody to the Sin Studios School on Air program right here in Melbourne. This is the Punt Road Journal. My name's Marquise. Joining alongside me is Ben and Brenton with all the latest talking points that revolve around the game we all know and love.
Hey guys, it's Ben here. Great to be here with you. Really looking forward to this chat with a couple of local footy lovers joining us shortly for a few insights into some important factors surrounding our great game.
That's right. We've got a bit to cover this afternoon, but we'll start with the game itself. What does it mean to people out there and people just like you and me?
Well, Brenton, for many, footy is not just a game in Melbourne. It's the very fabric that binds us together. I'd say it's almost a cultural institution and a unifying force for many. It holds a significance akin to a religion for some, and the dedication and passion people show for going other things to keep the reality of footy alive is something that unites the people of Melbourne.
Yeah, definitely a massive history there. Might go to a bit more recent times though. Ben, do you want to tell us about what you did on the weekend?
Yeah, so on Saturday afternoon, I took myself to the G, or the MCG, and I went to see the Lions take on the Tigers, and I sort of went through a cost of the date of what it sort of cost me to go to the footy, from Mikey to buying my ticket, food at the game, etc. And I put together a little package for us to listen to here.
It's game day and I'm pumped to head to the Richmond Tigers versus Brisbane Lions game. The plan? Catch the train, grab a ticket and soak in the action while keeping an eye on what the day is going to cost me. I start at Darebin Station, touching on my Mikey card. $5.50 for the trip to Jolimont. The train rattles along and I'm already feeling the buzz as I get closer to the stadium.
Now arriving at Jolimont.
At Jolimont, I join the sea of fans heading to the box office. I'm after a concession general admission ticket, $18, or so I thought. With a surcharge and service fee tacked on, it's actually $21.10. Ouch, but I pay up and head inside. Ticket in hand, I find out my general admission deal only gets me to level 4. No premium seats for me, but I'm here for the vibes, so I climb the stairs and settle in. The first half flies by. Goals, tackles, the works. Then halftime hits, and I'm back in line. This time for a treat. 2 hot jam donuts. They set me back $7.50. But that sugary goodness, totally worth it. The second half keeps me glued to the action. When the final siren blares, I'm buzzing from the game and ready to head home. Back at Jolimont Station, I touch on my Mikey again. Another $5.50. As the train pulls away, I start adding it all up. Let's break it down. Train to the game, $5.50. Ticket, $21.10. Meat pie and water, $11.10. 2 hot jam donuts, $7.50. And the train home, $5.50, bringing the total to $50.70. $50.70 for a day at the AFL. Was it worth it? Well, between the roar of the crowd, that pie and those donuts, yeah, I'd say so. But next time, I might pack a snack. That's my game day story. Thanks for listening. Until the next time. Cheers.
Jeez, unlucky Ben, having to sit on the top floor of the MCG. Could you bloody even see anything? Imagine what it was like back in the, you know, VFL in the 80s when you were basically standing on the field when you were watching.
I know, it was a completely different time back then. And, you know, if you sort of delve into that historical context of the VFL transitioning to the AFL, the national expansion really took place in the 1980s and 90s. And that wasn't just about growth, but also inclusivity. So you had your Sandfall and your Waffle, which is your South Australia and Western Australian VFL-like teams. And the introduction, including West Coast in 1987 and the Adelaide Crows in 1991, was really a rebranding for the AFL in 1990. And it was a deliberate effort to broaden the sport's appeal beyond Victoria and unite the country.
Yeah, you can tell that they were trying to definitely expand their reach and try to, you know, get the Western Australians, South Australians. They had a big love for footy, but they didn't necessarily have the infrastructure for it. So you can tell what they were trying to do.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they definitely went into more, tapped into more wealthier, diverse markets in those sort of states, Western Australia, New South Wales, South Australia. These economies were less tied to traditional industrial labour and more to professional services. And that's how the game's grown since then. And you know, I guess you can touch on the construction of the stadiums and the growth in that aspect as well.
Yeah, even going back to what we said before about, you know, back in the 80s, you look at, you know, the stadiums now, they're massive, they got all these bright lights. I don't know if many people have been to Marvel Stadium, but it's crazy. It's like a, you know, theme park there. So you look at that and then you compare it, you know, back to Victoria Park back in the day, and you know, it'd be a grand final, there'd be 120,000 people just packed in there, you know, massive, you know, health and safety violation, but it was, you know, all about the culture and the, you know, the you know, feel of going to a footy game back in Victoria. But it's changed massively now compared to what we are.
Yeah, and I think the AFL has been really strategic in the sense that their focus has been on national events. So we've got Gather Round starting on Thursday, which is their newest induction into this national thing. But if you also look at matches in non-traditional markets, we've played in China, we've played in New Zealand. It sort of underscores its adaptability and its efforts to attract new audiences. And it's definitely a reflection of a cosmopolitan, you know, white collar sensibility in the AFL that's just ever growing.
Yeah, you can't imagine, you know, playing a game back in China back 20 years ago.
Yeah, like 100%.
It's so different.
I guess you can also touch on the importance, and I mean, there's a public holiday for the grand final day every year in our state here in Victoria. And just goes to show how much the fans, people all around care about it. And they want the day off and they love sitting down and watching the game.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. All right, we'll throw to a song now. We'll play some Down Under by Men at Work. Thanks.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. From Peter's Law and mentioned her. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Thank you.
There we go. That was Down Under by Men at Work. And if you're just listening to us, it's Marquise, Ben and Brenton, and we're discussing the price of footy and the costs of being a fan. Now, we were lucky enough to talk to AFL Fan Association President Justin Leckie, where he spoke about the ever-increasing challenges of being a footy supporter. Have a listen.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Price of Footy show. We're here with Justin Leckie, who's the Vice President of the AFL Fans Association. How are you doing today, Justin?
I'm good, thank you very much for having me on.
Ah, that's right, awesome. So yeah, just here to talk to you about, you know, obviously the price of footy and how it's been going up and how it's a real concern for fans. Now, could you just tell us a bit about the AFL Fan Association and what you guys do there?
Yeah, certainly. Look, most people have probably heard of the AFL Players Association or the AFL Coaches Association, even the Umpires Association. We were established in 2013 as the AFL Fans Association to look after the biggest stakeholder in the game, the fans. So our basic mission in life is to give a strong, collective, independent voice to the fans that can't individually express that to the AFL and clubs and other stakeholders.
Yep, great. Now, you, Justin, as I understand, you investigated the food and drink prices of the AFL. Could you tell us a bit about that and what you found out?
Yeah, look, we haven't done it this year. We usually wait a few rounds in. But last year's results, we did talk to a number of papers and radio programs just to to reveal our results of what we found. What we found is there's different stadiums in Australia that have different requirements, different local requirements, but the disparity between the stadiums show that some stadiums are charging a lot more than others. Not surprisingly, Marvel Stadium was the cheapest because it's AFL controlled and the AFL subsidise a little bit, if you can make that comparison. MCG, Adelaide, and I think it was Sydney sort of fell in behind them with a higher cost. And notably, each year they have been increasing general prices by more than inflation. So there's two views on that. Obviously, fans don't get wage increases greater than inflation, so they're finding it hard to bring themselves to paying those extra fees. But vice versa, if you put yourself in the shoes of the AFL, they would say they're reinvesting those profits or surplus, let's call it a surplus because it's not really a profit, they're not for profit, but they are making good surpluses elsewhere in the game. So it depends which camp you're in, whether you say, well, we're happy to pay a little bit more if it's going back into grassroots footy, but it's not as transparent that we can't actually see that, so we've got to take the AFL on their word. And it comes back down to some fans just can't afford those increases. So we do encourage fans to take their own food and drink to the football if they can't afford it or eat beforehand, but it's always nice to have a pie and a Coke at the football itself.
Yeah, definitely. Moving away from food prices now and looking a bit more generally, the AFL scrapped free-to-air games on Saturday for Victorians this year. You know, this is obviously to please, you know, Fox, who's one of the broadcast right holders. Do you think that the AFL is starting, you know, to prioritise, you know, the likes of its stakeholders rather than its fans?
Look, there's always been... if you think back to the 80s when the VFL was in a little bit of financial trouble, the AFL's done a good job in managing financially and getting the game not just an entertaining and, you know, great game of football in Australia as the leading brand. They've also been very financially responsible. So getting broadcast deals, all that stuff, pays for other aspects of the game. We get that, but there's going to be a stage where fan interests are the rights of fans to actually see their own team play have to be taken into consideration. Now, the free-to-air loss on Saturdays, I believe I've heard, I haven't looked into it in depth, but an extra $200 million was received by the AFL, but fans... And we did a poll, 3 out of 10 fans are going to be heavily impacted by this. They can't afford Foxtel or KO. And even though people who can afford it feel for those who can't, you know, not everyone wants to take their family to a pub front bar to watch the football. It's not really everyone's cup of tea. we'd like to think that's some sort of compromise there, where maybe even the replay can be shown a couple of hours later, so you can just avoid the result and still see your team the same day without having to sacrifice the hip pocket. Cost of living is, a buzzword these days, but it's real. Some people are doing it very tough, and sometimes their entire leisure budget gets put into their passion of football. So if they can't get to the game because, was it opening rounds on a Saturday or whatever, you're a Collingwood supporter and your team's playing interstate, you don't get to see them on Saturday, which is heartbreaking to lifelong fans.
Awesome. And just finally, I know you suggested bringing your own food to game. But do you have any other advice for fans out there looking to save a bit of coin?
Look, it depends how much time or passionate you are. I think personally, season tickets, I'm a Port supporter and I've got a 11-game membership, and you can get some pretty good bargains either on 3-game memberships, or if it's for the full year, you're going to save on ticket prices alone. So if you're paying the walk-up or the single ticket price, you can get some pretty good bargains there. And the money mostly goes back to your club then. I'm not sure exactly NSA how some of the stadium deal components work, but you'd like to think most of the money goes back to your club as well. So that's a bit of a win-win. You save a little bit of money and your club benefits from it. I always bring something to eat, and I do treat myself to a couple of pies. And
you have to.
While you're out, you have to. That's the name of the game, while you're enjoying yourself. But we would like to still encourage fans to turn up. We don't want to turn into a watch-at-home fan base. We like the atmosphere, or most fans like the atmosphere of turning up to a packed stadium, getting that feeling of excitement and sharing the win as you go home on the train or back to the club. So we'd like to still encourage people to turn up to the game, and if you have to sacrifice a can of Coke and a pie and hot chips, then please do that to continue supporting your club.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Justin, for coming on today. We've learnt lots, and it's been really good to hear from you.
No worries. I hope the rest of your program goes well, and you get some other information from other sources as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, and hope Port wins on the weekend. Good luck.
Thanks,
Marcus. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Big thanks to Justin for taking time to chat with us there. Super insightful.
Yeah, he was really good. Gave us a lot of information about what it's like, to be part of the AFL Fans Association and what they do. And unlucky if you're listening, Justin, for Port Adelaide, they had a pretty rough weekend.
Well, thank you to Justin, and we'll throw to a song. It is Mr. Brightside by The Killers.
Calling a cab while he's having a smoke, and she's taking a drink.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in. That was a classic, Mr. Brightside by The Killers, who, funnily enough, actually played at the 2017 Grand Final. So a short time ago, we spoke with Justin Leckie, Vice President of the AFL Fans Association, and gained a bit of insight into what being a fan of AFL footy is like, as our game continues to modernise both on and off the field.
Yeah, and I think one of the most important things Justin spoke about was, you know, the issue of the broadcast rights and how they've just decided to scrap all free-to-air games on Saturday. I can't believe it.
Yeah, so why is that?
Yeah, well, you know, back in 2022, both AFL and Fox signed a massive contract. I think it was $4.5 billion, you know, just massive money. And that covered the 5 years between 2025 and 2030. And, you know, that saw Fox pay an extra $200 million just for the exclusive rights to a Saturday night game, which means, you know, obviously Seven has no right to, you know, broadcast the games on Saturday, which is obviously pretty annoying. They did make up for it a bit, and they gave Seven some more Thursday night games that they could broadcast for free, but, you know, Saturday footy day, it's like one of the most iconic times for families, and now, you know, they can't watch their footy on a Saturday.
100%. I just think it really alienates those without the subscriptions, and not everyone can afford it, especially at $25 to $40 a month.
Yeah. And that's just for the basic one. Like, yeah, if you want to get more screens, I think it's an extra $20. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Adding on to that, you know, people in areas where they can't access the internet and can't, you know, stream high quality games and stuff like that, it is a real problem. And I've also wondered how they sort of decided to break it up and pick and choose which sort of games were, you know, belong to Foxtel and KO and which belong to Channel 7. So it's kind of interesting to sort of see what sort of direction they went in terms of selecting games and trying to get the most out of it for footy fans.
Well, like, I don't know how they can say they did it for fans. You know, they saw the $200 million from Fox and they said they're going to run and take it. So I do think, you know, Justin's right. They really need to consider who they're trying to, you know, impress. And I think the fans should be pretty annoyed with what's happening. Mm. You know, Justin said 3 of 10 fans are affected by this.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. We want to thank you all for tuning in this afternoon and giving us a listen.
We also want to thank today's guests and everyone behind the scenes that were able to make all of this possible.
It's been a privilege to be part of the SIN School on Air program, and thanks for spending time with us. That's all for now. You've been listening to the Punt Road Journal. Here's Kylie Minogue spinning around to take it home. Cheers. Spin it on, spin it on.